Greetings, everyone. You're listening to Community Matters. Your host is Joan Rory today, and I'm super excited to have with me for a conversation, for updates, and digging a little bit back into the past, we have the Managing Art Director, Rich Smith, from the Over Our Head Players at the 6th Street Theater, located downtown Racine. So welcome, Rich.
Hello, Joni. Thank you very much for having me on Community Matters. I think this is a fantastic outlet. I love what WGTD does, and very honored to be on board. Thank you.
Sure, sure thing. You know, I know that we have an inside joke or secret at the theater about us being the best little secrets or, you know, in town. And we decided we didn't want to be a secret anymore, but we are getting the word out. We have some incredible new changes and upgrades to the theater. And I know that you've been on GTD before in the past on various shows, Rich, but if you wouldn't mind, give me the spiel about how Over Our Head Players started. Where were you and when was that? And give me the update. Give me the elevator pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. So back in the early 1990s, there were a group of good friends. We did improv theater together, comedy sports. But we also had theater backgrounds, theater education, and wanted to just kind of complement Racine's theater community by doing some different things. We did things with the theater on the other side of town, who are great friends of ours and do amazing work. And we wanted to try a couple of different things and just sort of add to it. And so we started doing plays at George's Bar, where we hang out. And we started as Theater in the Bar, and tongue-in-cheek. Drew a name out of a hat, ended up being the Over Our Head Players, and did a play, and it was successful. It was called Bathroom Humor. And so we saved a little money from it and did a few more. And 7 years later, we had enough money to get our own space. And that was the birth of the 6th Street Theater. So we moved out of the bar and we moved down to 6th Street. And we've been in the 6th Street Theater now for 26 years since then, and continued to grow and complementing the arts community in Racine and adding to the downtown economy and keeping artists and actors and theater people even happier than they already were in Racine. And that's sort of what drives us. That's where we are today. That's the elevator pitch. How many floors up did we go in the elevator?
Well, it's not the old Zons, but anyway. Good. And if those of you listening know me and know that I do work with and volunteer with the Over Our Head Players, Rich, I didn't know the story that the name was picked out of a hat.
Oh, yeah. There were a few names. Theater Schmieder was one of the names in the hat. Over Our Head Players was one of the names in the hat. And I forget the third one. No one seems to agree on what the third one was. And but Over Our Head Players was the one that won. Because we felt at the time that we were very much over our head. And it was tongue-in-cheek with some of the material we wanted to do as well. So
I think we still are, Rich.
A little bit.
Once in a while. And I didn't know that the name Theater went that far back to the first roots.
Oh, yeah. And since then, there's a theater company in Seattle actually is under that name, and their history is very closely mirrors ours. So it was quite funny that Theater Schmieder was all of a sudden being used in another community theater in Seattle, and they're still around as well. So it's funny.
We have a sister theater. That's awesome.
Kind of. We both thought of the same name at different times in history. So that's all right.
That's a pretty cool story. So 26 years, you said, on 6th Street?
Yeah, late 1998, 99 is when we moved into this building.
And yeah. What was on 6th Street at the time? This might be, I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but give me a peek at the stores that were there. I remember the theater being Haddon's Luggage, but that was not in the 90s. What was there was the Hep Cat coffee shop and internet cafe open on the end of the street? Do you remember that?
I do. It was like Racine's first coffee shop, you know. First coffee shop, at least in our, you know, realm of being. But, there were tumbleweeds, Joan, and there were horses tied up to posts outside and no one else on the streets. It wasn't that bad. I'm making jokes. But it was, 6th Street was pretty quiet. You're right. The building we looked at was an old Haddon's Luggage. It was Hep Cats. I forgot the name. They overlapped with us a little bit when we first opened, and then they went out of business or somewhere else, whatever. But there was not much on 6th Street at all. But we always felt that, you know, even when we were at George's, we felt like downtown it's starting to turn, you know. And if anybody remembers downtown Racine in the 70s and 80s, it was not a thing, you know, outside of like Beautiful Day Records and Tapes.
Yeah.
Maybe a wig shop, I don't know. But sure, downtown Racine is just such a fantastic, I think, win story in the last 30 years, 40 years of its existence. And the fact that we've been here and watched it sort of happen around us is awesome. We were looking for the theater space, and we walked up to this empty storefront that had a for rent sign in it. And I remembered it from being, you know, a little kid, and my parents bought luggage here. It was Haddon's Luggage, you're right. And me and a few friends looked inside the windows and noticed that it was like two storefronts side by side. And the storefront on the west was actually like 12 inches higher than the storefront on the right. So there was this weird step you had to go up. And I remember looking at it and going, well, that's obviously a stage. And most storefront theaters run, long ways. Like, you go to storefront theaters, New York, Chicago, any other place, you know, they fit it in a storefront. It's usually this sort of tunnel that you're in with the stage at the end of it. So we're a little different. We've got two storefronts side by side. One of them's taller than the other. It's like a natural fit. So when you walk into the 6th Street Theater, there's this intimate little seating space with the nice little backstage area stage. It all just fit. And talked the current owners into getting us in on a lease for a couple of years. I don't think they thought we would make a couple of years. And we came in and brought our audience with us. And we have not had a season where we haven't grown since that first year. And that's amazing.
Oh, that's a great story as well. What I liked hearing from you was the fact that you knew you had a good thing. You know, you walked in there. But what the one word that I really liked was the fact that our theater is intimate. I know that there have been conversations before. I know that we've done shows, snow dances at Memorial Hall festival site. And we generally do have the feeling that we lose that intimacy. And I know that's been part of many conversations, but we definitely win on that angle. You know, we actors can trip over feet. Tell us what you like about that intimate space, Rich, and what makes it work.
Well, for, you know, going back to, you know, the 80s when I got introduced to storefront theaters in Chicago with my good friend Kevin Holofka, you know, the first thing I fell in love with was, oh, this is awesome. I can reach out and touch the actors, and they're right there, and I feel like I'm in the room, in the scene with them.
Exactly.
Plus, when you've got a small audience, all of a sudden there's subject matter and language, and things land differently, and the audience's, the rapport is, you can't explain it. If you're watching a theater production where you are literally in the room with the actors, it's such a cool thing. And you can do different things. You can take other chances because you've only got about 80 people you worry about rather than 400, you know. And so we loved all that. But then as a performer, there's things you can do with your face or a voice or a volume in a delivery of a line or a joke, because you can make eye contact with like 10 people at a time if you want. There's just so many wins with the intimate space. The ultimate not win with an intimate space is, this is the money end of it. You know, you can only sell 80 tickets to a show, and so your budgets are a little more restrained, you know?
And you can only ask so much of the volunteers in these shows when you're running shows to, you know, make hay while the sun shines, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you, you know, you've got a great show that's very popular and you've got a 300 or 400 seat theater, okay, go for it, you know? You got a great show that's very popular and you've got an 80 seat theater, there's only so much you can ask of your actors, and you're going to hit critical mass. And if you sell every ticket, great, but there's a limit on what you can make. And I hate to make it all about money, but the business degree and the theater degree and me have to yin and yang, and you got to pay the bills, you know?
Exactly. It isn't free to put the lights on and have a new soundboard.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. But what a metamorphosis the space has taken in those 26 years. And I know, didn't you just recently have that 25th anniversary with some press coverage in the Journal Times and pictures of you all looking at the space? It happened in the blink of an eye.
It did. Yeah. It's all gone so fast. And they say, you know, time flies when you're having fun. And, the fact that I've, you know, spent the last 33 years of my life having fun and doing what I love with people I love doing it. And it sure has flown by.
Yeah, yeah. Not to mention, 26 years is a few generations. Something that I've, in this, and I'm in this particular, the production we're running right now with old friends, new friends, but families, you know, relationships that come out of shows and the theater experience, and watching people like Emily Brevik, you know, now Emily Sweetman, who cut her teeth at our theater, and now she has two children, and she's still involved in theater, and all of the young families that are bringing this next gen, it's really something very, very special. And I highly doubt that in 26 years ago, the people, those of you who were looking at this space thought, what'll it be like when we start having grandchildren? It's quite a legacy that you've prepared.
And if you count the years at George's, you know, of course, it's been 33 years since we've been together. And what I've all just smiled at is the number of couples that have formed because of our theater, and children that are now born because of our theater. I'm not saying anything happened in the theater itself, Joe, but I'm saying that the relationships and the connections started at our theater, and that makes me smile. It's huge. I mean, community theater is that. It's a social outlet for people of like interests and artistic desires. And when a community has it, it makes the community better, because these people who have these desires and talents might be in another community doing it because they couldn't do it here. And I'm always aware of that. And the family, the bond, the energy that's created with it is unique. It's beyond being on a bowling team. It's beyond bridge club or any other thing you want to make, because you all get together and tackle this task and create art, and you're all talented, and you look back 33 years later and you say, oh yeah, they got married, oh yeah, they met here and got married, oh yeah, they met here and got married and have five kids or whatever. I love that. I love it.
I do too. And I always add the tag that I kind of call us the Island of Misfit Toys, and I mean that affectionately. It's just such a diverse group of people, and I really enjoy embracing that diversity. I want to talk about risk taking, but we'll talk about that in a bit. But 26 years, the theater has seen some changes. About 2 years ago, change was desperately needed, wanted, and we were in a position to think we could tackle it. Can you talk about what brought us to that capital campaign, our two incredible benefactors, and what happened for that capital campaign? Why did we have it? What did we raise?
Yeah. No problem. No, that's fantastic. And we're getting older. We were in our 50s, five years ago. And we kind of came to this realization, all right, we got to decide right now if we're going to fish or cut bait. You know, are we going to keep this theater here as part of the downtown community? Or is it time for us to say, man, it's been a lot of fun, but let's figure out, how we can keep Snow Dance going and maybe make some changes. And as a group, everyone wanted to keep the theater going, and it wasn't a huge surprise. So we made some decisions in our leadership structure to mentor some new leaders. We made some decisions in our board and our budget making to think ahead, think 5 years, think 10 years ahead, so that we could keep this experiment going even after its founders and other people are no longer willing to, put in the time and hours. And so we started working on that. So the space needed a little bit of love. We needed some seats. I have always wanted to upgrade our lighting and technical ability to make it a true studio storefront theater space, overhead lighting with LED lights and an overhead grid and a black ceiling and the whole deal. And so here we are a couple of years ago. We were at an end of the year party with the Over Our Head Players, where I said some of this stuff out loud. And we had some guests in the audience who were donors to our theater and loved to usher, and Valerie and Gary Zamenek. And they approached me after and said, we want to help you get this done. We want to be part of keeping this in downtown Racine. And they said that they would match, they said, what do you need? And I said, probably $100,000. And they said, if you get 50, we'll give you the other 50. And that started the capital campaign. Now, $100,000 to many theaters is a drop in the hat. $100,000 to a storefront theater like us is a huge step. It's a big deal. We were able to replace all of our seating with state-of-the-art, comfortable, high-backed, cushy chairs, cup holders and program holders, and a much more comfortable experience for the audience. Changed the configuration of our theater. We added that light grid I was talking about, integrated some LED lights, fixed up our backstage area for our actors. So the capital campaign allowed us to make the experience better for our audience, make the experience better for our production quality, and make the experience better for our volunteers backstage. So we hit the three things that we really wanted to make sure got a little love. And we were able to hit all three of them. And we're only two shows in with all of our new toys, but I love it. The sound system in here is amazing. The things we can do with lights now are incredible. And it's a much more comfortable experience for our patrons.
I'd like to say our seats are now Wisconsin-sized.
They are. Yeah, we lost 4 or 6, so we can't do the 85, 86 seat Snow Dance houses anymore. But we forfeiting those 5 or 6 seats to give everybody else that few extra inches here and there was well worth it.
Right. It's economy plus, but it's really not economy because they are luxurious. I can touch the ground, so I'm enjoying myself whether I'm in the house or on the stage. I loved what you said about, making it a nicer experience for every party that you listed. And it, after 24 years that I've been with the Over Our Head Players, I was happy with what we had, if that makes any sense. It was endearing. But then now we have this backstage mahal of dressing rooms and a shower, and wow, nailed it. I still, you know, some of the volunteers that have been there and are in this show or working with this show right now, we're just still in awe of what, how it transformed backstage. So nailed it. Did a great job.
Thank you. Good. We love it.
Yeah. So now that we have new risers, new seats, new backstage, is there anything left on the table that we need to look to, changes or enhancements, or we're good for now?
We're good for now. I would love to get 100% LED lights. You know, we're going in that direction. Our stage itself is like a very fluid thing. We have a stage configuration that changes from show to show, you know. So figuring out new and unique ways to do that in our space would be great. But, you know, I don't think we want to grow. There's an opportunity for us. There have been opportunities for us to maybe slide to a different space in the downtown area or do different things. But everything comes back to that intimate feel of our space, and we never want to lose that. So I'll never say we're done improving, but it's nice to have taken these steps this summer and say, yeah, everything's kind of where I'd really love it right now, for sure.
Love it, love it. Okay, so we didn't have any productions in the theater last summer because the upgrade was being installed, etc. So let's kind of fast forward to this season and our season opening show. It was, and I'm going to reference what you said earlier too, risk-taking. We can take chances. And one of the most amazing things I've heard you say, Rich, is, and that making hay while the sunshine is our snow dance and Schmieder, which gives us the opportunity to take risks on shows like the first one we did, which it wasn't a risky decision, but it's out of the ordinary. I think, if I recall, we kind of try to go with adult contemporary comedies, you know, shows that are right off the license. We can get licensed to perform them. They're new. Maybe somebody in Chicago just did it. So we do take risks. And I want you to talk about Misery because it was one of the best productions I've ever seen in the comfiest seat I've ever sat in. But talk about Misery, Rich.
Well, thank you for saying all that. That's fantastic. So when we put last season together, we knew, boy, coming out of this incredibly busy summer with lumber and lights and paint and everything going on, whatever we opened our season with was going to have to be a small cast of actors, directors, and things that were going to be comfortable maybe rehearsing in a different space if we had to, putting things together, in less than ideal circumstances. And we wanted to do something that used some of our new toys right off the bat, some new lights and some new special effects abilities and things. Misery was on our radar, you know, it became a play not too long ago, you know, adapted from the novel by Stephen King, and had some success here and there. And, we had a few volunteers who are huge Stephen King fans. And looked at it again and thought, well, it's a three-person cast. It's this, it's that. If we use this group of people, we could get it together during the Capitol campaign and open with a name brand show that allows us to use some of our technical things and is not maybe what people expect. You know, it's not a Kringle musical. It's not a snow dance. It's not a comedy. I hope it wasn't a comedy. So, it was a nice little challenge for us, mixing it up and staying in our mission, even though it's an old name. It's a fairly new piece of theater, so thank you for the kind words. But, yeah, to open with a drama like that and have the response and the ticket sales that we had for a drama at that time of year, with our grand opening, it was a great way to start. Great way to start our season and great way to reopen our theater.
So the formula was different with the opening show this season.
It was a little different, for sure. Yeah.
What do you normally aim for to open with?
It's every year is different. And you know, as an artistic director, you want to give your theater a face in every season, a rhythm, and speak for what you're doing and why you're doing it. The Over Our Head Players artistic direction under me has always been quirky, new, fun, offbeat, challenging comedy.
Right.
And if we can find this odd or challenging drama once or twice a year, we'll throw that in there. And if I can find a reason to embrace our hometown or have fun at ourselves in our hometown, that's part of our artistic direction as well. So building this season was a compilation of all of that. So we started with this edgier, riskier sort of drama piece, and then we went right into local hometown sketch comedy, and now we're going into the Snowdance 10-minute comedy competition, which is all of that, and then we're following that up with Ride the Cyclone, which is this new musical from Canada that has taken North America kind of by storm. It's got this cult following, and I did not think we would get the rights to it, and they did. So we're doing it, and it's Ride the Cyclone. It's a lot to explain, but it's great fun. It is twisted fun with amazing music, and so that meets that. And then we're going to end with the 39 Steps, which is an award-winning comedy that has been done a lot, I guess, in a lot of other theaters, but it sure fits our space and it sure fits our talents, and it's definitely going to be enjoyed by our audience. So that's kind of how the season was built.
Sure. I wanna go back to something that you said too, and we're gonna talk a little bit about the shows like Schmieder right now and Snowdance coming up, the history of it. But again, risk taking is such a delicious element of the Sixth Street Theater, and we're still, when you talk about putting out a show that pokes fun at ourselves and we get to laugh at ourselves quite a bit. One thing that I do have to say is, Rich, as a managing art director in our community, you know a lot of things, but there's one thing you know very, very well, and that is our audiences.
Well, thank you.
And I've been in exchanges with you where I, you know, accept direction and try it my own way, and you say, I'm not going to give you a read on it, but you know, think about this or whatever, and doggone it, he's right. Most of the, if not all of the time, that he just knows what's going to get the laugh, knows the setup, knows our houses, and I think that's part of the magic that makes Sixth Street Theater work.
Thank you for saying that. After 33 years of doing comedy and listening to audience feedback and seeing what they enjoy and seeing what they tell me, it comes kind of easily. After a while, you kind of know what's going on. And the older I get, the problem is I'm not as in touch with some new things like I was 33 years ago. And I never want our theater company to be old. You know what I mean? So the challenging thing for me is to try to keep a fresher, younger mind and fresher, younger people around me so that we can stay in touch with what our audience likes and will laugh at, but also make sure they know that we're still in the year 2024. You know, that's been the challenge. But I appreciate those words. Thank you.
Well, in typical Joan fashion, I got so engaged in the conversation that I didn't take a station break midpoint. So I want to remind our listening audience that you're listening to Community Matters on WGTD, Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth. I'm your host today, Joan Rory, and I'm talking with Managing Art Director of the Over Our Head Players at the Sixth Street Theater, Rich Smith. So we were talking about Misery. Now let's talk a little bit about Schmieder. And again, making hay while the sun shines, and maybe people might not understand that, but it does cost money to produce a show such as Misery because you have to pay licensing fees. But when it's homegrown, home written, we don't have to pay those licensing fees, do we, Rich?
No, but there's other things that come up.
Sure.
You know, with theater, you know, we have, we have musicians and other things. There's always someone, you know, professionally who you've got to account to. But it's easier for sure. You know, you mentioned Misery. There have been a few shows where the royalty fees you look at and go, oh my gosh, you know. They're getting up there, especially after COVID. So no, theater's not cheap. And when you do something like Theater Schmieder, where you're in control of your own material, that's a great benefit. It also fits our mission in that it's new and it's fun and it's letting Racinians laugh at Racinians and
Racinians laugh at Kenoshikins and
yeah, whoever, come and laugh at you. I don't care. You know, we do the Cradle musicals, and sometimes we do those inside Racine jokes, and we've got subscribers from Gurnee, Illinois, and Milwaukee, and they always, you know, comment to me like, I don't know what you were talking about, but we get it, and we laughed at it, you know, roundabout jokes or festival hall jokes or whatever. Every community has their own little buttons, and when they hear a community laugh at themselves over their buttons, it's they identify with it, so it still lands.
Love it, and it does. How was Schmieder born? I know the name has been around a while, but how was the production, Theater Schmieder born?
So it was over 20 years ago. It was right after Snowdance got going, and we realized how much fun we were having with the little sketches we do in between the Snowdance finalists. We call them hijinks. And we were having so much fun. Maybe we just do a show with just all hijinks. And maybe we could get like a band to come and play with us and make it like a variety show of just sketch comedy and stuff. And so I started building that, and we did our first Theater Schmieder, and it was so well received. And it's hard to do because you got to write the material. You've got to get the musicians lined up. And so we only do one every other year. So this is our 11th Schmieder. And it's a embracing hometown fun. It's like Racine's own version of Saturday Night Live.
Right, right.
And embracing a lot of hometown fun and original sketches that we all sort of build together. And then we're so fortunate to have bands and musicians who know about it, who will come and for almost nothing come to a Theater Schmieder because they love the experience and they have fun with us, and it's not sitting in a crowded, noisy bar, but, you know, stepping out on stage with an attentive studio theater audience and rocking out with us, and so they want to be here, and the energy of the whole thing is just great fun.
It definitely is, and having been part of the first couple of Schmieders, but then taking some time off, and now back in it, it is just, it's my favorite.
Mine too, so there you go.
It takes a village, really, to put it on, and it's just a beautifully choreographed, and you're right, well, Steve Martin said it best when he said, comedy isn't pretty, it's a lot of work. And come to the third, fourth week of the rehearsal process, it's scary because it's not so funny right now. So you really need an audience to remind you that it's funny.
And when you're doing like original sketch stuff, it's like, it's unproven. Is it funny to us? Is the audience going to think this is funny? I mean, there's a big leap of faith that you take there. But that's why, got to make sure you've got the right people and people who understand sketch comedy. We're very lucky that way. We've sort of cultivated a nice base of actors who understand sketch comedy now after doing Theater Schmieder every couple of years and can play and embrace it. So, yeah, it's a great time.
We have a couple of new people, and that is something I definitely wanted to toot our horn about, because we do, you know, aka you, we do a very good job at looking for new talent, new volunteers. Again, we we welcome everyone at the theater with open arms, and we've got some two new actors, but one of them's not so new to the community, so people might recognize him, Corey of Toad Hall, and Kim, a new actor. So I'm super excited to see some new blood come in and be part of that family. That's pretty exciting to me. And so kudos to us for, again, really embracing the diversity and new people. It's a special thing. I keep saying that, but that's really the fact.
I've always been proud. I mean, theaters can be very clicky, and I've been in theater for most of my life, and I get it, I understand it, but I've always been proud of how welcoming our theater company is to new faces and new people, and how much that's shown by us getting new faces and new people, and talented people who want to come and work in this unique space and do these unique things with us. And you never know who the next leader is, coming into an audition or whatever. Kim Christie, who you mentioned, we found, she's from Kenosha. She went to Parkside for theater years back and decided to become a mom, and she loves sketch comedy, and she finally had time on her plate to do something, and she knew about us and came and auditioned, and she's a great addition. Corey Zarek ran his own comedy sports theater troupe in Washington, D.C. before he moved to Racine and opened Toad Hall, and was busy in the bar-restaurant business and couldn't come out and play. And then Theater Schmieder comes around, and he's like, I love it, I want to. And so we get Corey Zarek on stage with us. Always looking for new people who love a challenge and love to have fun. And I love that our company has a great reputation for being welcoming in that area. That's a big deal.
It's a good time to interject. Speaking of new, we're always looking for new. What kind of volunteer opportunities, in addition to acting, what kind of volunteer opportunities are out there for us, Rich, for anybody listening who might be interested? I know volunteerism is starting to rise up again after the pandemic, and we certainly are an organization that couldn't do what we do without volunteers. Talk to us about some possible volunteer opportunities, Rich.
Oh, thank you. My favorite topic. So we welcome anyone. If you just want to come in and usher for a show, fantastic. You want to come and audition for a show? We audition for everything we do, for the most part. And our next auditions are going to be for that musical I was talking about, Ride the Cyclone. And those are all online at overourheadplayers.org. You can find our audition information. And then we'll be auditioning for that award-winning comedy 39 Steps, which opens in late spring, early summer, later on. And those are so we're always looking for actors. But if you want to usher, we're looking for ushers. If you want to work backstage with us, love it. If you want to learn how to do a light design or run lights or sound design and run sound in our amazing new remodeled high-tech tech booth, let us know. We'd love to have you. We are, again, a good group of welcoming people, and we always have fun. And I like to say to volunteers, come on out and do community theater. It's cheaper than bowling.
And cheaper than therapy.
Than therapy as well. I like what you said before about the Misfits. One of the reasons I fell in love with theater at Park High School back when I was 15 years old was, that hallway going down to the theater. You never knew who was hanging out down there. You would have all the different personalities, and you never felt uncomfortable around any of them. And it was like my first introduction to, okay, theater people are all right. That one's a little weird. That one's a little weird. That one's a little weird, but they're all nice. And that's all that mattered. And it's funny now, doing theater for, 40 years and running this place for 33, it hasn't changed. Everybody's nice. Everybody loves each other. Everybody is here for a common goal. And love to have new people be part of that. So
I'm going to have you repeat the website again.
Sure. overourheadplayers.org. And when you go there, there's a volunteer link on there, I know, and you can see all of the the links for our upcoming shows and opportunities. And if you ever have any questions about anything, send an email to our box office. And that email address is boxoffice@overourheadplayers.org.
So this is always a dream of mine to say something like this. And we also have a phone at the box office. And that number is 262-632-6802. That number again, 632-6802. For some reason, I just love saying that. And
operators are standing by. 632-6802. Don't forget the 262.
Absolutely. So much gratitude, Rich, for you, for the organization, for those founders who decided, hey, let's put on a show. I am so indebted and grateful to that and to be part of the Over Our Head family. Thank you, Rich, for taking the time. I know tickets for Schmieder are sold out, if I recall. There might be a couple left. Can you attest to that, or are we sold out?
Yeah, Theater Schmieder is all sold out. It runs through the month of December. If you'd like to get on a waiting list, you could send us an email, and I could put you on a waiting list for Theater Schmieder tickets. But Snowdance is in the process of filling up now, and usually right after Christmas, the Snowdance 10-minute comedy competition does completely fill up. So if you haven't got Snowdance tickets, now's a good time to go online and grab your Snowdance tickets.
Get them now. Rich Smith, Managing Art Director of the Over Our Head Players, thank you so much for being a friend and Managing Art Director of one of the coolest places in Racine. So thank you for taking the time today to chat with us and get us updated and welcome everybody to the new Wisconsin-sized cushy seats in our theater.
Thank you, Joan, and thank you, WGTD, and Community Matters is a fantastic outlet. I appreciate it. Thank you, and honored to be on.
Thanks, Rich.